Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the nature of God was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Christians think they have to be worthy. A lost man knows they aren't worthy, and you tell them, Jesus wants to heal you, and they say, really? And you say, yes, and they say, well, have had it. And they don't put any of their works in the way. There's nothing to get in the way. But man, a Christian will say, oh, I know God wants to heal me because I've been fasting and praying and being so good. And that just becomes a barrier that stops the power of God. It's easy to get a lost person healed. And so, anyway, you don't have to become worthy to have God move in your life. Now, we told them, it says, as soon as they get healed, you tell them, now, would you like to serve the God who healed you? And take that as an opportunity to introduce them to the Lord. But we have been reconciled to God, and we have been given this ministry of telling people about the goodness of God, and that God has reconciled you, and that God has paid the debt, and that you don't have to add to it. You can't add to it. Any attempt to add to what God has done is actually a subtraction. It subtracts from what Jesus has done. You've got to get to a place where you depend upon Jesus and what He has done for you only, and don't mix it with your own goodness. Does that mean that you don't live right? No, you do live right, because it softens your heart towards God. It's a testimony to other people, but it has zippo to do with God loving you more. He doesn't love you more if you live holy. He doesn't love you less if you don't live holy. You will love God less if you don't live holy. You will love God more if you do live holy, but it doesn't affect God's attitude towards you. It'll affect your attitude towards God. Everybody get that? That's important. And this is what we should be ministering to people. It says in verse 19, to wit, that's old English for that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. You know, here's something that I haven't ever expressed very well. I've seen this, but I just don't have the words to get it across. But God has reconciled us to Him. He has paid the debt. He's not angry at you anymore. God is not upset. You have been reconciled to God, but most of us haven't reconciled God to us. I don't know if you get that. God reached out and paid the price, and now there's no animosity between God and man. Boy, that is a radical statement. And again, just to illustrate how little that's understood, you can go into the average church and they're preaching, if America doesn't repent, God's going to destroy this nation. The wrath of God's about to fall on us. This is the judgment of God. God is the one that caused the AIDS epidemic. God is judging this. They're imputing man's sins unto them. They're saying that God isn't reconciled unto man. That's not what this message is. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. That's contrary. God has taken care of sin. Did you know people that go to hell aren't going to go to hell for homosexuality, adultery, lying, and murder, and stealing? The people that go to hell are going to go to hell. All of their sins were paid for, but they will go to hell for the rejection of Jesus who paid for all of those sins. The only sin that the Holy Spirit is convicting people of, according to John chapter 16, verse 8, 9, 10, and 11, it says, when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Then verse 9 says, of sin because they believe not on Me. The sin that the Holy Spirit is convicting people about is the sin of not believing on Him. And if a person says, oh, I'm believing on Him, then he'll say, well, then why don't you tithe? Oh, well, I'm trusting You with all of my heart. Oh, You trust Me so much that You can't get rid of this money and do what I said. You have to have it. And he'll point things out like not giving and living in adultery and lying and stealing to illustrate the fact that you aren't trusting in Him. You aren't believing on Jesus. But the only issue is whether you believe on Jesus. And if people have already been born again, their sins are forgiven, Well, then God is pleased with you, even though you're still a mess. And you should get over drinking and doing drugs and committing adultery, because it's destroying your life and it's destroying the lives of other people, and it's still an open inroad of Satan into your life. And if you give him opportunity, Romans chapter 6 verse 16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." If you yield to sin, you yield yourself to Satan, who's the author of that sin. And you're going to give him complete access to you. And I guarantee you, Satan comes, John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes for no other purpose except to steal, kill, and to destroy. He's out to kill you. And if you give Satan an inroad into your life, he's going to eat your lunch and pop the bag. Few of you have heard that one before. But you don't want to give Satan an inroad into your life. So live holy. I'm not telling you to not live holy, but I'm saying God loves you independent of your performance. If you've accepted Jesus, all of your sins have been forgiven. And did you know even the people who haven't accepted Jesus, all of their sins have been forgiven? The only thing they will be dealt with is whether they have accepted Jesus or not. And if they go to hell, they will go to hell for the rejection of Jesus. See, once you understand this, it changes everything. People think, well, it doesn't seem fair that a person who lived a really good life and was a moral person and the pillar of the community and helped people and they did good their whole life, but they just never accepted Jesus. It doesn't seem fair that they're going to be over here with Hitler and in the same punishment and receiving the same punishment as a person who murdered millions of people and who did all of these things. It just doesn't seem fair. But see, what they're missing is that it's not your individual sins that's sending you to hell, because Hitler's sins were forgiven. Hitler is going to go to hell for the rejection of Jesus. People who reject Jesus are going to go to hell, and it doesn't matter if they were the pillar of the community. Once you understand how desperate the human race was and how desperate our situation was, and that God loved us so much that he sent his son and had his son die in your place. Jesus, when he left heaven, he had bankrupt heaven. He is the express image of the Father. He's the glory of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And when Jesus left heaven and came to earth, God gave his best. He made this supreme sacrifice. And for you to just be indifferent and say, "Oh, well, yeah, I believe Jesus was the Son of God, but I'm not sure that I want to serve him. I believe that I'm good enough. I can make it on my own." For you to reject God sending his own son and dying in your place, once you understand it from that perspective, there isn't a hell deep enough or an eternity long enough to punish a person that would just turn up their nose and ignore Jesus. You know, I was talking to a person just the other day who said, "I just can't believe that a good God would punish people in hell for all eternity. And because of this, they're just struggling." And I said, but I was trying to make this point that you don't understand that it's not their individual sins, it's the rejection of Jesus. And he says, "I would never sacrifice my daughter for anybody. I'd never kill her to try and help somebody else." And I said, "See, that just shows that you don't love God. I mean, you don't love people near as much as God does. That just shows that God's love. Man, God so loved the world that he gave." And then I took his own reasoning and I said, "If you loved a person so much that you did sacrifice your daughter and you literally killed your daughter in the place of somebody else so that they could go free, how would you feel if they just ignored that? Or said, 'Oh, thanks for doing it, but you know what? That's not really important to me. I think I'm just fine the way I am. I don't have to have this sacrifice.'" I said, "The same love that caused you to give that daughter in sacrifice would cause you to have wrath and anger towards the person that rejected such a supreme sacrifice." See, when you understand this, it changes your perspective. There aren't going to be different chambers in hell, and hell number one, or hell number two, or hell number three. It's only this one sin of rejecting Jesus that sends people to hell. It all revolves around that. And if you have accepted Jesus and made Jesus your Lord, then all of your sins, past, present, and even future tense sins, have been wiped out. And God sees you holy and pure and clean. You were reconciled through the death of Jesus. Again, go back to this illustration that if God was judge and if he passed sentence on somebody and said, you have to die for your crime. And then he took off his robes and came around and said, I'll take your place. And if the judge died in your place, you know, the appropriate response would be that you should feel love and thanksgiving, but you would be dishonoring the one who died for you if you spent the rest of your life saying, well, you know what, I needed to suffer too. It was really my crime. I should be bearing this about. If you limped through life with a sense of unworthiness and guilt and shame and refusing to ever prosper, you would be doing the person who died for you an injustice. And yet this is basically what we've done. We still bear a sin consciousness. We still bear this sense of unworthiness, not understanding that Jesus has fully reconciled us unto God.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the nature of God. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM236 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, a number of months ago, we introduced the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is a Bible program where you get three versions of the Bible, four Bible dictionaries, study helps, maps, Greek and Hebrew words defined, and my footnotes on like 12,000 verses in the Bible. And the reason that I call it a living commentary is because it's still coming out. And there are updates every month, up to 400 verses of new footnotes every month. And so I advertised that a number of months ago, and we've had thousands of people take advantage of that. Just this last week, I decided to take these updates that we were charging for, the monthly updates, and we've now made them available free. So this has really increased the benefit of this program. And I encourage you to call and request information about the Andrew Womack Living Commentary.